Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we talk to the host of NPR's TED Radio Hour about her new book, Body Electric, The Hidden Health Costs of the Digital Age, and New Science to Reclaim Your Well-Being. Also, the Grand Rapids Public Museum has announced the return of collections and cocktails. We get the details. We talk to Petco Love about returning lost pets to their families. Circle Theater Grand Rapids presents Forever Plaid, opening May 14, and on the 19th, adults are invited to a session, Trading Tech Panic, for a simple practical game plan on behalf of Protect Young Eyes.
You know her voice, you know her work. TED Radio Hour host Manoush Zomorodi on the line. We're here to talk, well, about her new book. How about Body Electric, The Hidden Health Costs of the Digital Age and New Science to Reclaim Your Well-Being. Lots of hidden and important words in that title. So good to speak with you. Yes, we love TED Radio Hour, and yet you've been doing some writing on the side. Good morning, Manoush.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
It's you. When did you know it was time to write a book?
Oh, boy. You know, I knew when I was feeling like crap all the time, Shelley. It was that sense at the end of a long day on my laptop, and I would close up my windows and then think, I only have enough energy to sort of crawl over to the couch to check my phone or watch Netflix. And I felt like we'd heard so much about the mental health effects of being on our screens too much, being online or social media. But to me, this felt very physical, and I wanted to understand what sitting and looking at a screen all day was doing to my body that made me feel so exhausted and like I couldn't concentrate. And so that is what threw me down the rabbit hole to try and understand the biology about being on our screens all the time and what the solution could potentially be.
Yes, thank you for that. You build on the popular podcast of the same name, Body Electric. So here we are. How did you begin your research?
Yeah, so I heard about a study done by Dr. Keith Diaz at Columbia University Medical Center. And Keith's mission in life is to figure out what is the minimum amount of movement that the human body needs so that it doesn't die an early death. So fun mission. Keith had found in his lab that moving gently for 5 minutes every half hour during long periods of sedentary stretches had an outsized impact. It slashed people's blood pressure, their blood sugar. It brought back their focus. It stabilized their mood. And when I heard this, I was like, Keith, why aren't we all doing this? Why aren't we all just taking these little movement breaks? And he said, you know, come on up to the lab and see what you think, if it's doable. So I did. And it was indeed amazing. I sat on my butt for one day and did my usual sort of work on my laptop. And I compared that to another day when they saw that my blood sugar was cut in half. My blood pressure dropped by 5 points. My focus and my mood stayed steady. But as he pointed out, you know, we live in a world built around sitting and looking at screens wherever we go. So we decided to join forces and ask public radio listeners, could they try to get these movement breaks into their lives? We had 20,000 people sign up to be part of a global clinical trial. They could take movement breaks 5 minutes every half hour, every hour, or every 2 hours. And then we measured the effects. And we found that 82% were able to stick with it. 80% actually enjoyed taking movement breaks. They saw a reduction on average of up to 28% less fatigue, which was kind of extraordinary. They found also that their mood stayed steadier. They were able to get back to their desks and concentrate again. We actually found that even though people had all these interruptions in their day or their evening, their productivity rose, which was unexpected. So we saw how people could integrate movement breaks in their lives when they understood the science, when they were part of a community, and when they gave it a good old try. And you know, you got to love public radio listeners. They are willing to put their money where their mouth is, right? All the time. So we're so grateful for them for trying it out. And the book goes into how exactly they did it based on life stages. So young people in college versus information workers like you and I who are on screens all day versus people who are older and or retired and have different kinds of schedules.
And you had kind of a one close to you to give you some research too. What, you're always moving, Mom?
Oh, my mom's the best. She's 82. When I was a kid, she annoyed me because she could never sit still. She always had to move. She was vacuuming or setting up a badminton net in the backyard or taking my little brother and sister out on a boat. She just could never stop moving. And at the time, I did not appreciate it. I was a teenager who just wanted to like sit by the pool or watch a rom-com. But now I see that what she was doing was she was building a life built around movement, which has meant that she has had a healthy life despite a fall a couple years ago. Her cognitive health is sticking in there. And actually, she is a retired geriatric psychiatrist. And so I think what she knew was that our physical health is crucial for our cognitive health. Those two things cannot be separated. I have new appreciation for my mama.
It's the hidden health costs of the digital age and new science to reclaim your well-being, the tagline of Body Electric, written by award-winning host of NPR's TED Radio Hour, Manoush Zomorodi. Manoush, a couple minutes left. What is this hidden health cost?
Well, okay, so what happens when we sit? We have to think of our bodies as being kinked, kind of like garden hoses at our waist and our knees. And what happens when you have a kinked hose? Pressure builds up and the water can't flow. The same thing happens in our legs with our blood. So our leg muscles need to be stimulated in order to pull the glucose and the fat out of our bloodstream and in order to push the oxygen up to our brain. And when you don't do that over weeks and months and years, that is when chronic health conditions can creep in, including diabetes, obesity, hypertension, cardiovascular issues, in addition to just feeling lousy at the end of a day. And then there's something called interoception. Interoception is the body's way of sending the brain signals for what it needs, whether it needs a snack or to take off your jacket because it's hot or a movement break. Looking at screens we're starting to realize that, you know, we're so captivated what's on our screens that we ignore the signals that our bodies are sending us. So reconnecting to that muscle stimulation, reconnecting to what your body needs, those two things, you know, it's tough days out here, right? Lots of bad news. But I think if we can just get a little more movement and a little more joy and a little more optimism into our lives, potentially that can actually go much further than we might expect.
Continue doing the good work you do both behind the mic and with a pen in your hand these days. Body Electric. Manoush, how do we find out more about your work?
Oh, you can go to manoushz.com. That's MANOUSHZ.com. Thank you so much for asking, Shelley. I appreciate your support of the book.
Keep on doing. I'll keep on reading Body Electric. Take care. Well, it's back. Yay. Maybe bigger and better. The Grand Rapids Public Museum does announce the return of collections and cocktails. It's a wonderful fundraiser, an elevated spring event that celebrates the museum's vast and dynamic collections and much, much more. Plus, you're going to have a fun time. Glad that you are here, Katrina Furman. Lucky to have your voice. Good morning.
Good morning.
You, Lyric Floria, appreciate the work you do with the museum.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Which is what?
Oh, I'm the development manager.
Yes. And Katrina, your talent?
I am the Anishinaabe curator for the Grand Rapids Public Museum.
Wonderful. Hence a reason we discuss. Can you go into detail on your job, please?
Sure. So I am the Anishinaabe curator who is in charge of basically the Native American collection that we house at the Grand Rapids Public Museum. At this point, though, I joined the team as a curator at a time when we are revamping the Anishinaabeg exhibit that will be open in October of 2026. In the meantime, it's kind of resting, and we're really excited to kind of share some teasers about the exhibit at the Collections and Cocktails.
Wonderful. Good. We'll get you back to talk about that. We know it's important. Cocktails and collections and cocktails. You have been on a roll with this fundraiser. Took a quick break, and now Lyric, back for this May 21st event. What's the big concept?
So Collections and Cocktails is the Grand Rapids Public Museum's spring fundraiser. And each year there's a different theme. We pull out items from the collections and showcase them. And this year we are focusing on water, Michigan waterways. So the theme is called Currents That Connect. And we are exploring and celebrating our relationship with Michigan's waterways, our lakes, rivers, streams, and wetlands, and highlighting the beauty and diversity of our natural history, as well as raising funds to support the Grand Rapids Public Museum's collections.
Exactly when and where the evening happens?
It is on Thursday, May 21st, 2026, from 6 to 9 at the Grand Rapids Public Museum.
Yes, cocktail attire maybe?
Yep, cocktail attire. We are telling our guests that the attire is inspired by the currents, so you can flow with the theme with watery hues and blues and shimmer of minerals and things like that, because we know people like to dress to the theme.
And is this one of your premier fundraising events?
It is, yes. This is our premier spring cocktail fundraiser, and we are bringing it back this year. It took a brief hiatus over the last couple of years, and we're really excited to be bringing people into the museum once again. And there will be lots of activities. So we'll have a seated program, but we'll also have access to the newly renovated Spillman Carousel. The riverfront space is now going to be open, and we'll have access to the river with our outdoor classroom and lots of other fun activities as well.
All right, Katrina, let's dig into the weeds a bit. This is where we, as Lyric mentioned, enjoy this elevated evening on the river. Tell me more. We're looking at themed artifacts and specimens from the collections?
Absolutely. So the Grand Rapids Public Museum is very unique in that we offer some hands-on access to our collections. One of the popular features that we offer are called discovery kits, and this is an item that educators can rent for about a week. We have 13 or 14 of them now with different themes, and each one includes not just items and artifacts, but also lesson plans that educators can bring to their classroom. And the kids can just, you know, get into these. They can handle the items. They can, the teacher can pass them around. It's a really great way for kids to connect to the museum if they're coming for a field trip, if they've just come back from a field trip, or if for some reason they can't make it to the museum, we can bring the museum to them. So we will have a few of the discovery kits available to view during the Collections and Cocktails event.
Yes. And then let's go back to your tie with what's coming into October.
So in October, we will be reopening the Anishinaabeg exhibit. It will have it will be somewhat rebranded. It's going from Anishinaabeg, the people of this place, to Anishinaabeg, the original people of this place. And it has the underlying theme of We Are Still Here. It is going to focus on Anishinaabe people today, as well as what our history is along the Grand River, this 1,200-plus year history along the Grand River. And people will just be able to come in. We've got some really great technology that we're implementing, a lot of hands-on learning. People will be able to explore knowledge islands that will give them more information on various topics, such as tribal sovereignty, the boarding schools, our language and culture, as well as, you know, things that are important to us, like our veterans and our heroes and change makers. We'll also have some historical dioramas that people will be able to engage with, where they will be surprised to find holograms of modern people that will talk to them about foodways and lifeways and how we used to do things by the season and how we've continued to do that today. So it's just a really, really exciting exhibit that we have.
And Lyric, again, seeing that pieces of that as a tease, but and this is why the fundraiser happens. I mean, just supporting and caring for the preservation, mm-hmm. what, more than 250,000 artifacts and specimens, man?
Yes. So the Grand Rapids Public Museum has over 250,000 artifacts in our archives, and only about 5% of these artifacts and specimens are on display at a given time at the museum. And so Collections and Cocktails gives us a chance to showcase some pieces from the collections that aren't typically available to the public. So this year we're bringing out artifacts related to the Grand River, both scientific specimens and historical artifacts like from the logging period, and as well as Anishinaabe pieces as well. And those will be on display at the event, and there will also be a hands-on interactive piece during the program.
Yes. So a lot of strolling and a lot of cocktailing, mm-hmm. and yes. Obviously the collections as well. How do I get a ticket, Lyric?
So you can find more information, including the ticket form, at grpm.org/cc. You can also just go to our website and search collections and cocktails, and there's more information about the event there, including timing, attire, and details about parking and all of that as well.
And Katrina, I think there was a mention the renovated iconic Spillman Carousel. Will that be available for us?
I believe so. That will be available. We're also inviting people to engage with our program after dinner, where guests will have the opportunity to actually handle some museum artifacts. We're going to have this really cool kind of exploration where they'll be able to answer, kind of meet as a group at their table and answer the questions of what is the item, how was it used by the Anishinaabeg, what is the connection to the Awashtenaw or the Grand River, and is this item readily accessible for the Anishinaabeg community? And it's just going to be a really great way for people to sort of explore some topics that show how the objects and artifacts are both culturally and ecologically connected.
Yes. And, of course, when I ask what else do you need from the community, obviously supporting an event such as this, and yet watching, I mean, there's still construction happening. You're still growing, right? Start mm-hmm. with you, Lyric, yeah?
Yes, we are. We're really excited that this event will be the first opportunity that we've had to feature our newly renovated riverfront. Mm-hmm. And that includes an outdoor classroom space, which is state-of-the-art and gives access right to the river. So our education programs will be able to access the river directly. For example, they'll draw water specimens from the river and do water testing. And there's endless options of how we're going to use that space. And we're really excited to connect it with the theme, as well as all of the development happening along the river this year and beyond.
Yep, a celebration of curiosity, community, and the rich history we share with our water here in Grand Rapids. What do you leave us with, Katrina Furman?
What do I leave you with? Well, I just really hope that people come and they learn something new from this evening. And we're just really excited to present the museum and, of course, the Riverwalk area. And hopefully people will find that connection to the river.
Sorry, details one more time, Lyric.
You can find more information at grpm.org/cc about our collections and cocktails fundraiser with the theme Currents That Connect, happening on Thursday, May 21st.
Don't miss this happening in our own backyard. Thank you, Lyric and Katrina, for this opportunity. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Attention pet owners, this one's for you. Yet, it's a serious conversation, especially when it comes to reuniting lost pets. Petco Love, opportunity to talk to you, President Chelsea Staley, on how we are discussing this Petco Love lost, reuniting over 250,000 pets with their families nationwide. I shudder to think the three of mine would get out, but it could happen. Good morning to you, Chelsea.
Good morning. It could happen. It's your worst fear, right?
Sure is, and it seems like it does happen. We have wonderful shelters and ways to make that happen, but Petco Love steps up to the plate and hits a home run. Remind me of the good work of your organization, Chelsea.
Sure. So Petco Love is a national nonprofit. We our mission, of course, is to save pet lives, and we've done more than 7 million adoptions in Petco stores nationally, but we also have a lost and found platform called Petco Love Lost, where it's not enough just to find pets good homes. We want to help keep them in homes as well.
All right, so let's get into this conversation. Petco Love Lost. How did the milestone get accomplished to even begin with?
Great question. So Petco Love Lost is a free nationwide platform that uses AI photo matching technology that helps reunite pets with their families. So pet parents upload photos when a pet goes missing. Good Samaritans do the same when they find one. And then shelters across the country are part of the network, as well as several social media platforms, including Neighbors. And so reaching 250,000 reunions is incredible, but it's only possible when communities and technology come together to help get pets home. It's this combination that helps us get more pets home than ever before, faster than ever before.
Take me through, again, a process we don't want to have to go through, but we must. Chelsea, what's the first thing pet parents should do when their dog or cat goes missing?
The first thing you should do if your pet goes missing, of course, is act fast, but don't panic. Go to PetCoLoveLost.org right away, and you can create a lost pet report with a clear photo. The sooner your pet is in the system, the sooner the system can start searching against hundreds of thousands of other lost and found pet reports in the system and start matching. You will get alerts for potential matches, and then we also offer easy tools on PetCoLoveLost.org that'll help you share your pet's information across other social media platforms.
Remind me along those lines, what can we do as a safety measure while our pets are at home?
Well, an ounce of prevention, of course, is worth a pound of a cure. And so one of the easiest things that you can do in advance is go ahead and go to PetCoLoveLost.org. While they are safe at home, you can create a pet profile on there with a clear photo of your pet. That way, if they ever go missing, and one in three pets do, that way if they ever go missing, you can just log into your profile. It's ready to go, and you can just click a button that says, "My pet is lost," and it'll start matching for you. We do a reunion every 4 minutes.
Wow. That, you can't beat the numbers. There we are. We tell stories. Do you have a story or a notable reunion that comes to mind to share with us?
Yeah, you know, with 250,000 reunion stories, there are dozens and dozens of heartwarming stories. But I live in San Antonio, Texas, and during the Central Texas flooding last July 4th, a blind senior dog named Sandy went missing. She was missing for a couple of weeks before she was reunited via Petco Love Lost. And you can imagine how scared her mom was having a senior blind dog missing due to flooding. But we got her home safe and sound.
And obviously, prevention is the key, but as you mentioned, fast working as well, inspirational. What else falls under Petco Love and Petco in general we should know, Chelsea?
Sure. So Petco Love is the nonprofit that's associated with Petco stores. So if you go shopping at Petco for your pets at home and it asks you to donate at the register, those proceeds come to Petco Love. We give about $20 million a year in grants to shelters across the country. We have helped 7 million pets get adopted through Petco stores, and we also offer free vaccines to family pets in need. And those are parvo, distemper, and panleukopenia vaccines.
How healthy is it to own a pet these days, Chelsea?
How healthy is it to own a pet these days? I'm not sure there's anything healthier. They help us deal with our stress. They make us exercise even if we don't want to, and they just bring your life so much joy.
That's called leading the question. All right, details one more time. Again, back to the seriousness of your pet is missing. What do we do according to Petco Love? That action item is?
Go to PetcoLoveLost.org.
Great. All right. Keep up your good work, Chelsea. Are there pets in your home?
There are pets in my home. I have four dogs. Yes.
There you go. Oh, good. Overachieving. Thank you very much for this opportunity. You take care.
Thank you so much.
Get right into the conversation. This is going to be good. Opening on the 14th. Circle Theater Grand Rapids presents Forever Plaid. Cast and director in studio to share the storyline. I only get the best. That would be you, director Michael Kuhn. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning. How are you, Shelley?
I'm doing fine. And, cast, one of several, my friend Lucas Story. I played your aunt, didn't I, in the Jewish theater production?
Oh, yeah, once upon a time.
Yes, it was a while back. But yet, a cool bond that we have. Michael Kuhn, are you ready for an opening night?
Oh, yeah, I am ready, but even more, the Plaids are ready to croon to anybody who wants to come see this show.
Again, opened earlier with Elephant and Piggies. We are in a play, and now here comes Forever Plaid. What's the storyline, Michael?
Yeah, it's four friends from school on their way to perform their, you know, one of their first big shows, got killed tragically. And so this is them getting the chance to relive the experience of performing a show for, and we get to see it one night only, whatever night you show up, that's the night that they're going to be there.
Cool. Lucas, how and why did you get involved in one of the, what, four Forever Plaids?
Oh, yeah. So I've known about this show for about 10 years, almost had the opportunity to do it a handful of years ago in the same role, so learned the whole part, was ready to go, and then, similar to the show, something tragically happened, and we were no longer able to perform it. So we're back, a new crop of plaids, and having a wonderful time and very, very excited to get into this production.
How would you describe your character as Jinx?
Oh, he's shy. He is nervous. He is shy. He is quaking in his boots.
All right. Is that tough for Lucas to play?
Not too much. No, I don't think so.
Nice. What, I mean, is this, I know it's a musical, right, Michael?
Yes.
And but yet, do our gentlemen talk to each other? Let's talk about more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's I like to think about it as a concert with some plot. So it is mostly singing some, you know, old recognizable songs. There's some beautiful, you know, choreo, simple choreo that the boys would have come up with on their own. But then you also get to see them get a little wacky towards the end of it as well, and really just having fun, loving each other, loving music. It's really a great, really fantastic night.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but has this been on Broadway?
Yes.
Forever Plaid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is been there, done that, and yet so wonderful now that we can do this here on the stage of Circle Theater. Tell me about some of the other guys, Lucas.
Sure. So we've got Smudge, played by Seamus Hyman. He is kind of like the perfectionist of the group. He kind of gets everything together in the way that it's supposed to be. We have our leader, Francis, played by Riley Van Ness. He's the one who kind of keeps the show rolling along. He needs things to continue to go the way that they're supposed to be going. He's kind of the guy who knows what the segues are, gets it, you know, to the point where it needs to be. And then we also have my stepbrother, the jokester, Sparky, played by Alex Weiss. And he's just kind of there, you know, we're all comic relief at the end of the day, but him especially, he's got some really funny moments, as do all the Plaids. And, I mean, we've all got really sweet moments too, but
I might have missed this, Lucas, but are some of you playing instruments?
Yes, there is a melodica, there's an accordion, there's a piano, there is a xylophone. Yep, I knew I was missing one, a xylophone.
What is your talent?
Oh, I get to play the accordion.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
I've got a 1950s accordion in my house.
So, nice.
That probably needs tuned up.
Mine is the same era.
Oh, well, it's probably when they were big, as they say. Michael Kuhn, how have you worked with your characters behind the scenes?
Yeah. Because it is a show that is really focused on singing, often it's thought about like the acting comes second, but in a lot of ways, you've got to have that heart of this show. And so it is about finding that core of what really drives that character. And then thinking about how that actualizes itself when the music starts. And so we can kind of see their character unfold as the show goes on. So as the music continues to grow and get more beautiful, we also get to see more and more of their character, their love for music, their love for each other.
Lucas, describe for one who hasn't attended a performance at the Circle Theater, at Aquinas performance, of course, that venue, which is, as they say, what, in the round? What's that like for you as an actor?
So as an actor, I really enjoy it because it makes you almost feel more immersed in the space, kind of having to play to several different sides instead of just directly in front of you. There's something to be said about just the way an actor turns or interacts with another actor without necessarily having to adjust for the audience. You know, you're directly interacting with an actor, and you're going to be seen by somebody within the theater.
Your back doesn't have to always be upward or around. Is there a fourth wall, or are you having some interaction with the audience?
You know, there is going to be some audience interaction. It kind of becomes our world as the show goes on. But early on, we've got a handful of minutes that we deal with the audience, and then it's kind of back to us. But at the end of the day, we all know as the Plaids that we are performing for you.
You are into character. I love it. Lucas Story, along with Michael Kuhn, a wonderful Forever Plaid opening May 14th, running through the 30th. Keep your energy up. Thanks to Circle Theater. Again, circletheater.org. We'll get the details as we finish. Are you using a choreographer and or music director, Michael?
Oh, yeah. We actually, for this production, have a choreographer, Becca, who has just been awesome. We also have Bethany Scudder and as our music director. And then Randy Burghart is also our vocal director. So for this show, we really wanted to make sure that the harmonies were nice and tight.
Because you are Forever Plaid. What else do we need to know, Lucas? Have you worked with any of the guys?
I have not. Well, you know what? I did work with Seamus for Rock of Ages at the Civic Theater. But Alex and I have been in the same sphere for a very, very long time, and I've never gotten the opportunity to perform a show together. But Riley is a newcomer to the Circle stage. Very, very excited for people to see what he brings to the table. He's a very, very talented actor.
Yes. And I should know this, but is this take place in the 50s? Is this...
No, this is modern day. Yep. Good old 2026.
Right. So bring that accordion on stage, as they say. Michael Kuhn, what's it like to direct? This is no stranger to you.
It isn't. This is my first time directing at Circle Theater, so I'm just so excited to have this be my first show there. I studied at Baylor. I studied at Cornerstone for theater under Jennifer Hunter, and then have directed in many different states. So I'm excited to be directing in my hometown.
Good. Lucas Story, you play Jinx. Why come see the show?
Oh, man. Everybody's voice is just phenomenal. And you put four of them together, it's even better. So if that's not reason enough, there's also dancing, the acting is there, the music is there. There's something for everybody, for sure.
Wonderful. And Michael Kuhn directing, there's nothing like opening night.
Oh, absolutely. And if you want a trip down memory lane, thinking about that thing that you never got to do in life and the idea of getting a chance to do that thing, to come back, that is what this is about, and you're in for a treat.
All right, how do I get tickets? And again, you do open this week?
Yeah, so you can get tickets at circletheater.org or by calling 616-456-6656. We'll get you hooked up with some tickets and come see it.
Wonderful. All right, I'll just do that. Thank you, Michael Kuhn and Lucas Story. Break a leg as Circle Theater presents Forever Plaid. Well, of late, are the kids spending too much time behind the screen? Let's talk about parents across West Michigan. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Digital, this fast world, is it changing for kids? And my next guest here to talk about an opportunity to gather, well, maybe, and discuss just that in studio to do that would be you, Abby Sladek. Good morning to you. We'll call you Mom. Let me turn your mic on. Say that again. Okay, there we go.
Thanks.
You know, you do
me.
This long enough, sometimes you forget to turn the mic on. Abby, I call you a friend, and yet you are a parent that has some concerns in a good way. Mm-hmm. We bring on the line Chris McKenna. He's here to share how-tos. There's an evening in Olivet Church in Spring Lake come the 19th. We'll say hello to you, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for you. Abby, would you set up our conversation?
Sure, yeah. So I, a couple years ago, was reading the Anxious Generation book. A lot of people know about it, but it really is just talking about the impact of smartphones on the generation and how that's really impacted mental health, increasing anxiety and depression. I'm really passionate about mental health in our community. I also happen to be a mom of a 7-year-old who is in first grade and started asking about video games and Roblox and, Mom, are you going to post that on social media, that picture of me? And and all of those things. And so my husband and I were talking about this and how are we going to handle, you know, boundaries around online safety and things. And then I happened to stumble across a podcast where Chris McKenna was speaking from Protect Young Eyes. And so all of these things started to come together. And my husband and I talked a little bit about how can we educate our community? Because my daughter's going to school and interacting with kids as well. And if we send her to someone's house, are they going to have the same values and protections in place? So all of these things started to come together. And my husband and I were talking, how can we educate ourselves, but then really make it a benefit to our community? So we reached out to Protect Young Eyes. We decided, let's bring a speaker in to Fruitport, which is our small town where we live in West Michigan. And Protect Young Eyes said, yes, we'll come. We'll share practical tips on how to prepare your home, not only putting tools in place for safety, you know, the privacy settings and all the things, but how do you have conversations early with your kids, as early as 5, 7 years old, to keep them safe and build relationships so that they can come to you if they have questions?
Thank you for that setup. Protect Your Eyes, PYE, yes, founded in Grand Rapids, and that's where we bring you on, Chris McKenna. Share your side of the story here.
Yeah, boy, I wish I could have an Abby organizing all of our events because she's fabulous.
Careful, if you ask her, she'll probably say, yes, I do it all.
Yeah. But I mean, and this is what we have found all over the country, Shelley, is that moms everywhere have known for a really long time that there's something unsettling about putting 100 million people and 100 million choices into the pockets of amazing fifth graders or seventh graders or 10th graders, and then us getting upset that they make a mistake with that insane technology that we just gave them, right? So we at Protect Young Eyes, the reason I started this organization, I was in ministry. I was watching parents back in 2012, 2013, handing devices over, not doing anything intentionally wrong, but just not understanding the risk that they were introducing into childhood. And I have a background in business and business risk consulting, and that was a problem that needed some consulting. It needed a solution. So we bring a lot of practical frameworks and ideas, wrapping homes in layers of protection that we explain, using habits that regardless of the technology that comes, whether it's social media or pornography or gaming or generative AI or whatever is next that we don't even know about, there are principles that we believe and we know because, in fact, I'll be on a webinar tonight with a school in El Salvador where I was visiting in February. These are principles that work wherever technology exists or whatever the technology is, these five habits that Dan from my team will be explaining as he goes through different just practical things. So parents are going to walk out literally with a list of things they may be able to do that night, depending on what bedtimes are. But then, as Abby said, what are the conversations? What are things we can be dripping in consistently in the face of algorithms that are constantly confronting our children with all kinds of different ideas?
Yes. Chris, this is a Tuesday, May 19th evening, this free adults-only workshop. Families everywhere are grappling with screen time, as you mentioned. What, how do we at Olivet Church, how do you anticipate the 6 to 7:30 p.m. time spent?
Well, what we'll do initially is we'll introduce them to the five habits of a tech-ready family. This is what Dan will walk through this framework. And under each of those habits, Shelley, parents will have practical actions that they can take. We'll then move into the last half, which will then go through layers of protection. These are the practical hardware, software solutions that every home needs to have. And then, of course, a time of Q&A because there's always going to be questions. But I want to give even a special shout out to not just parents, but grandparents, aunts and uncles. If you have a little human or a larger human that you care for in some way, you're a caregiver. We want you there because all of us need to be having these conversations, need to be wrapping our kids and neighbors and others. And we need to be having similar conversations, as Abby was saying, because it's not just our home. It's the homes hanging out with our children and the grandparents' homes and all of these places. And every one of those individuals is going to walk out encouraged and equipped so they can help their kids thrive in the digital world.
Nice. And Abby Sladek, this is an event that emphasizes preserving childhood while raising tech-ready kids. You want your kid to still be a kid, right?
Absolutely. I do some work with Pine Rest, too, and we always say long live childhood. One of the other things from The Anxious Generation that really struck me between the eyes was this idea that parents have overprotected their kids in the real world. For example, my gut reaction is don't let my kid play in the front yard. A stranger could come by. But then we're underprotecting them online. We're just handing them devices and assuming that the tech giants are protecting our kids and everything's okay. And so that really was eye-opening for me. And also I get it with parents, like it is overwhelming. How do we know where to start? What do we do? My initial gut reaction is to run for the hills, go off the grid completely, you know, but that's not realistic. Or maybe some parents are in denial. That won't happen to my kid. And so there is an opportunity with Protect Young Eyes for them to come in and give us simple tools. This is no judgment, no shame, whether you have a 3-year-old that you're thinking about getting on a tablet or you have a 17-year-old and you're not sure how to kind of pull back those boundaries. It's for any parent, any grandparent that wants to make sure that we can put some safeguards in place for our kids. And it's ever changing. We're on this AI frontier. And that's what I really appreciate about Chris and his team. They're advocating. They're on the front end of things. So we don't have to do our own research. We can rely on them as the experts.
And Chris, it does look like there will be a plain English explanation of AI and its impact on kids, which I trust we already know at this point.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I mean, that's the basis of the talk I'm even giving tonight, titled AI and the Family. And some of that definition is important. What is a chatbot? What is an AI companion? What is generative AI? Because each of these has different capabilities. And our kids are already 3 or 4 steps ahead. And you know what, Shelley, it took us 10 years to wake up to the fact that social media might not be the best thing for childhood. Thank goodness for authors and advocates and researchers like Jean Twenge and Jonathan Haidt who have pushed that narrative forward. We don't have 10 years to figure this out with AI. We maybe have 10 months. And that's not to make us anxious or overwhelmed. It's the, hey, let's not recommit the sins of the past. Let's not believe the tech giants. In fact, let's listen to the parenting decisions of tech giants was not to give their kids this technology. Steve Jobs didn't give his child an iPad, right? Let's listen to their parenting decisions, apply some of that to us so that we can do practical things in our homes.
Yes. Abby, again, this is the 19th Olivet Church in wonderful Fruitport, Michigan, 6 to 9 to 7:30. How does it work? How do I get my space?
Yes, there's just an opportunity to register. You can go to the Protect Young Eyes website and look for our event in Fruitport. Anyone is welcome. It is an adults-only workshop, but we will be offering free childcare. We want to make sure that's a reduced barrier for folks. So feel free to register for childcare. And I just want to emphasize grandparents, parents, teachers, youth leaders, aunts, uncles, all are welcome, whatever stage or age that you are in, just come and learn because we can't do life alone. We need community. We need a support system. And that's another reason why we're having this event.
Yes, and again, with Protect Your Eyes, the goal, helping families replace tech panic with a clear, doable plan for protecting kids online because I don't think it's going away at this point in life unless there's a miracle, as they say. What do you end us with, Chris and McKenna, and how can we find out more information about your PYE?
So anybody can visit us at protectyoungeyes.com. Ironically, Shelley, also very active on social media, but trying to use it for as much good as possible. We'll use the algorithm in our favor. We have a lot of free guides and resources on how to set up everything from your smart TV to your iPhone that parents can access for free. But I'll end with this. There's a lot of news out there about what's wrong with technology and how horrible it is. That's going to actually be very little of our emphasis. We realize that there's the reality that tech exists at home, at school, and so we want to equip parents to parent without fear, to guide with grace and some grit, and show us how, not just to be fearful, but how. And so that's why we want parents to come.
Good. Called a reality check and look at the glass half full with this thing called life. Chris McKenna, thank you very much for you on behalf of Protect Young Eyes. Abby Sladek, how do you leave us? I know May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so very related here.
Yeah, and I heard the segment you had earlier about being healthy and how movement's important. So I just encourage anyone to come out. May is a great time to think about mental health. Going into the summer for parents, too, how do we make sure that we can help kids experience childhood in real life more than online? And so anyone, again, is welcome May 19th from 6 to 7:30 in Fruitport. Hope to see you there.
Great. Thank you very much, Chris McKenna, and you, Abby Sladek. Go get them, and thanks for this important conversation.
Thanks, Shelley.
That's a wrap of your Tuesday edition of the Shelley Irwin Show. How about your Alfred Lord Tennyson inspiration for the day? 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Okay. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I look forward to speaking with you tomorrow. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great day.